Continuing with our pandemic preparedness courses here at biodefense.com. In this section, we're going to talk about how pandemics get started and spread, which really is important information to understand what may happen. In other words, where are these pandemics coming from? When you understand that, you'll have a much better ability to understand how to defend yourself against them. It turns out that not all pandemics may be accidental. In fact, every nation or every major nation in the world, first world military power nation, has a stockpile of biological weapons, which include Ebola. And these have been weaponized and then stored in laboratories run by the governments. And they're stockpiled and stored for a number of reasons. The government scientists would tell you that they study these so that they know how to build a vaccine against them, or they know how to protect the population against them. But the flip side of that coin is that every major military power in the world also keeps these on the back burner as a weapon, to deploy it as a weapon in the last ditch, a desperate scenario. For example, if suppose America were invaded by the Russians and the Chinese, and they launched nuclear weapons on America and then physically invaded with soldiers from China, for example, then America might find itself in a military compromise situation, and it might be willing to launch or deploy bioweapons in those countries as a last ditch form of desperate self-defense. So despite what the media tells you and despite what the military leaders tell you, these viral strains are being kept and studied and weaponized as aggressive weapons. No matter what they tell you, that is always the case. So don't forget that. Now, the problem with this is that history, especially recent history, has proven that governments are really very bad at keeping tabs on where all those biological weapons have been stored. In fact, government laboratories, the CDC labs and so on, are routinely finding missing vials of smallpox or anthrax that they've gone missing for many, many years, and then they show up in a cardboard box somewhere in an unsecured location. There have been lots and lots of security problems recently where very dangerous weapons or weaponized infectious agents have been discovered in government labs. And it's very clear that government lab operators across the board are not really very careful with this stuff. So there is the possibility of both a deliberate deployment of these as biological weapons, as well as accidental escape from the laboratories into the wild. There's also another scenario here, which is a rogue government scientist wanting to destroy the human population and deliberately release one of these viral strains. This was actually depicted in the movie called 12 Monkeys with Bruce Willis and Brad Pitt. It's a really fascinating movie, kind of an interesting movie to watch. You might check that out when you're thinking about viral pandemics today. But in that movie, one person released a viral strain in an airport and caused the wipeout of human life above ground, forcing humanity to go underground in order to survive. This is a very realistic scenario. We've seen government employees, for example, at military bases go rogue and shoot their fellow soldiers. We've seen military people steal tanks and run down the Los Angeles freeway with a tank running over cars. We've seen rogue government employees do this from time to time. So if one of these scientists gets a hold of a virus and wants to do something with it, well, then they certainly have the means to do that. It's not that difficult to smuggle out some viral fragments or even a few vials of viable Ebola virus and then release it somewhere like a major U.S. airport or Grand Central Station, in New York. Now, the other thing to keep in mind here is that there are many, many scientists who now openly talk about using genetically engineered viruses to depopulate the planet. This is a huge area to consider. Many people at the highest levels of global society, people like Bill Gates or Ted Turner or other sort of high-level operatives on the global stage, so to speak, they openly talk about the need to depopulate the planet. And they believe, for example, Ted Turner believes that we should depopulate it down to about half a billion people, 500 million people. So that's a dramatic reduction in population from the current levels of about 7 billion. Bill Gates talks about how to use vaccinations to reduce world population by 10 to 15%. I mean, that's a direct quote from him. He says, if we do a good job with vaccinations and public health, we can reduce the population. He's calling for a lower population. And these are just some of the comments that have slipped out publicly. There's another scientist who was caught on camera recently joking about, you know, ha, 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 we should use a genetically engineered virus, and that should wipe out at least 25% of the population, ha, ha, ha. And he thought that was really funny, and his colleagues also think that's pretty funny, because this is the way they think. They think they're God, and that if there's too many humans on the planet, in their opinion, that they can use genetically engineered viruses or bioweapons to simply reduce the human population with a pandemic wipeout. And so I mention that because a lot of people right now are theorizing that this release of Ebola is, as they describe it, a weaponized strain that has been deliberately released. Now, I can't say that I concur with that theory. I haven't seen any conclusive evidence of that, but it certainly is a very viable theory that needs to be explored. Out of all the nations in the world that have Ebola, surely one of them could have a rogue government employee or even a deliberate test of a bioweapon in Africa to just to kind of see what might happen. So that is a viable theory. We can't discount it. We need to keep our eyes open and see if this is a deliberate release. Now, the reason that's important is because if it is a deliberate release, then somebody really is trying to kill off some significant portion of humanity. And if that's the case, they will probably find ways to release it somewhere else. Do you see? So Africa might just be the test case, but they can certainly release it in Mexico City or London, for that matter, or New York. And then if that happens, then we have a massive problem on our hands because containment is going to be almost impossible at that point. Now, the more optimistic explanation for this is that Ebola is being caught from animals in nature in Africa, so it's an accidental spread. Now, this scenario may excuse the deliberate weaponization side of this conversation, but it doesn't make Ebola any less dangerous. So if it has made that leap from animals to humans, then it has the potential for a rapid mutation, as is being witnessed in the wild right now. See, the thing about Ebola is that it, for whatever reason, it has the ability to mutate and evolve extremely rapidly. And as a result, it will be able to outmaneuver any vaccine attempts made by the medical system and government authorities. Ebola, the strain that's out there right now, has about a 21-day incubation period. During that period, people do not show any symptoms, but yet they are carriers of the virus, and they can spread it during that time. So this makes it extremely fatal and very hard to detect. It's almost a stealth virus, if you will, that can evade medical authorities' attempts to detect it, to isolate people, and to quarantine people. Now, keep in mind that just at the end of, was it June or July of 2014, President Obama signed an executive order that said, and by the way, the mainstream media never covered this at all, so if you haven't heard this before, don't be shocked, but he signed an executive order that granted the federal government the legal authority to quarantine any person who showed symptoms of a respiratory pandemic disease, which, by the way, could include influenza or tuberculosis. Now, the executive order specifically excluded influenza, but it did not exclude tuberculosis, and it certainly did not exclude Ebola. In fact, it was probably written and signed specifically in anticipation of an Ebola outbreak that we're beginning to see right now. So what the federal government is doing is saying, if you are in a public place and you start coughing, we can arrest you at gunpoint and we can forcibly move you to a quarantine center. Now, what are these quarantine centers? These are places where they stick all the sick people. So even if you weren't infected with Ebola and you just happen to be coughing because you swallowed your water wrong or something, then now you're going to get Ebola because they're going to shove you into the quarantine center with all the other sick people that they've rounded up. Those quarantine centers are essentially concentration camps. They are essentially death camps. They won't be called that by the mainstream media. They'll be called, oh, medical facilities where you will receive outstanding medical care. No, you're being sent there to die. And that's why they have the cremation ovens set up to burn the bodies. After people have died, you have to burn the bodies in order to destroy the virus completely, because dead bodies can continue to infect other people. So the government is going to be pulling out all the stops. Your freedoms are thrown out the window. You know, forget about your freedoms. You don't have a Bill of Rights anymore when they declare an emergency and these executive orders kick in. And keep in mind, too, that Obama over the last several years has signed so many executive orders that it just outpaces any previous president. And these executive orders give the federal government complete ownership and control over essentially all resources, including food, meaning the food that's in your cupboard, farm equipment, farms, livestock, grain, feed, water resources, including the water that's, if you've collected rainwater and you have water in a storage tank, they own that water now. They control all medicine. They control all transportation, all fuel, gasoline, diesel, and so on. Airplanes, they can seize your vehicle. They can seize anything. This is all already on the books, signed by Obama, ready to be invoked in a pandemic outbreak or some other kind of emergency. So what this means is that if you think that you've done a great job preparing for a pandemic, what they can actually do is show up at your house and say, hey, buddy, looks like you just coughed there. Let's arrest you, shove you in a quarantine camp where you will, of course, die within 30 days. And then at the same time, we're going to use Obama's executive orders to take over all the stuff that you have prepared, all your food, water, maybe ammunition, firearms, fuel, livestock. If you live on a farm, we're going to take your tractor, take your animal feed, everything. And they can do all that legally. This is all completely legal. This isn't outside the law. This is already signed into law by Obama. And so a lot of people don't realize where this can go very, very quickly. All this is going to take is one person having Ebola in New York City, for example. And that gets all over the news. Maybe it starts to spread. Then Obama drops the hammer. Boom. National emergency declared. All of a sudden, FEMA can run around and literally confiscate anything they want and literally throw anybody into a quarantine center that they want. Now, this is why I've put such an emphasis on this website about boosting your immune function. You need to have strong immune support during this time, especially because merely coughing in public can get you killed because they'll throw you in a quarantine center where you will be infected. So you need to make sure that you don't catch a flu. You need to make sure that you don't catch tuberculosis. You need to make sure that you don't even show any symptoms of being sick anywhere out in public. There will be a time, trust me, if this pandemic outbreak becomes severe, there will be a time that you will see on the news, places like CNN will say to the public, if you see someone coughing near you, dial, you know, this special number, like a 911, dial this emergency number to report them. And a government agent will come take them to a medical facility. So you will actually have, most members of the public will function as sort of the infectious disease secret police. And if they see you coughing, or if they see you sweating even, just showing any sign, any symptom of a cold or a flu or an infection, they will call the government to come take you away. You don't think they will? Of course they will, because CNN will tell them to do that, and most people are obedient sheeple. They will do whatever they are told by any apparent authority. So boosting your immune function is not just about defending yourself against Ebola. It's also about making sure that you don't appear to be symptomatic, that you don't even catch some little common sniffle cold, because that can get you thrown into a quarantine center, and that will get you killed. Now, the last topic in this episode is that you can't trust anything the government tells you about any pandemic. If the pandemic is starting to spread like crazy, do you honestly think that the federal government that lied to you about the NSA spying on your email and listening to your phone calls and recording your internet activity, do you think that same government is going to tell you the truth about a pandemic spreading in America out of control? Of course they're not. They're not going to tell you anything. And the reason is simple, because there's nothing that you, that the masses can do about it. The masses can't be saved in a pandemic. The government already knows that. So they're not going to warn anybody because they don't want to cause a panic. The panic would be even worse in many ways than the pandemic. So they don't want to warn people and cause a panic, cause social unrest, cause all the stores to be wiped out of supplies and local riots to break out. If you thought the recent riots in Ferguson, Missouri were bad, you just wait. If the government announced, oh, there's a global pandemic has arrived on our shores, that would cause riots nationwide. Law enforcement would be completely overwhelmed, overrun. They wouldn't be able to do a thing about it, sadly, even though they would try to. But the cities just don't hire enough cops these days. The budget cuts have been so severe. The men and women in blue, even when they try to do the right thing, they're just outnumbered, especially in a case like that. Again, go back to Ferguson, Missouri. Heck, you got local riots breaking out across this country right now without any bad thing happening in the news. You just got groups of teens, mobs, running around beating up people and looting stores just because they have nothing else to do. So they're just running around, you know, creating chaos. But in a pandemic, the government would never take that risk of announcing that it's actually happening, because they know that it would set off a wave of social unrest. So you can count on being lied to. Even if it starts to spread, the government will downplay it, and the CDC will say, well, don't worry, you know, a vaccine is on the way. A vaccine is the answer. Vaccine is the cure. Don't do anything yourself. And, you know, God forbid, don't prepare. Don't buy extra water. You don't need to panic. And then the mainstream media will predictably call people like myself a fearmongers. People are fearmongering, saying that you should actually be prepared. You should have extra food, water, emergency medicine, communications equipment, a flashlight, so on and so forth. We're going to be called fearmongers. It's all very predictable. The whole thing is scripted, and it's all very pathetic. But we know that that's how it works, because they play the same script over and over and over again. Then the main role of the government in this scenario is going to be to come into the cities after the pandemic burns through the population, and then pick up dead people with body bags and take them to the cremation ovens and burn the bodies. That's going to be really, it's basically an aftermath type of thing. They may use the military to quarantine entire cities, though, to make sure that people don't escape and infect other cities. So suppose you have a city like Philadelphia where you get an outbreak happening. You could see the government actually having an armed military quarantine around the city of Philadelphia. No one in, no one out. That is actually on the books as well. The government has the power to do that. That can be invoked at any time with just the stroke of a pen, a declaration of a national emergency. And if that happens and you are stuck in Philadelphia, you are pretty much screwed unless you know how to isolate yourself and live on your own preparedness supplies. If you manage to get out, you're probably still not safe, because the ability to enforce a quarantine on a major U.S. city like that is almost impossible. For one thing, you've got airplanes and helicopters coming in and out of the city. What are they going to do? Shut down all air traffic? Really? You know what that would do to the economy? It would really crush the economy and could lead to an economic collapse or a debt collapse or banking collapse. So the options are very, very limited. If it gets into North America, in any kind of major U.S. city, it's likely to spread throughout all the cities. Even if it gets into Mexico, think about this, or Central America, if it gets into Nicaragua or Bolivia or even, you know, Colombia or something like that, but especially Mexico, then it's very easy for it to cross into the U.S. border because of the open borders policy. In fact, some people say that various infectious diseases have already invaded America, and that's why a couple thousand children have already been sent to hospitals across the Midwest because of this mysterious virus that's infecting school children. and that seems to be from the illegal immigrants that were deposited in major U.S. cities around the country. I mean, it's all so insane. Sometimes I can't even explain the depth of the insanity of what our federal government is doing. But my main point here is don't trust the government. They won't tell you the truth. They won't tell you how severe it is if an outbreak happens. And they won't give you good advice. They'll probably go on the radio and give you advice like, everybody should head down, you know, what, I-70 and go to this FEMA healthcare center. Well, it turns out it's probably like a quarantine camp with a bunch of razor wire on it. And now you're being barcoded and shoved into a quarantine center because you were a sucker who went along with the government's, quote, official advice. You know, you'd be much better off having a farm out in the country or knowing someone who does, getting out into a rural area where you can actually defend yourself, you can live off the land, you can have your own preparedness supplies, and you're not going to be on the radar of the government, which is going to focus on the high-density population centers, such as the cities. Now, before I sign off on this episode, I do want to say that obviously I hope and pray that none of this ever comes to pass. My intention is to help save lives with this information. And that's why this is being put out for free. The current Ebola pandemic may die down. They may be able to contain it. And I hope they do. But sooner or later, the spread of infectious disease across the human population of the world seems inevitable. Because of the factors I mentioned in a previous episode, the high population density, the rapid air travel, and the extensive suppression of immune systems caused by today's foods, medicines, chemicals and personal care products, pesticides, and so on. We are a weak version of humanity. Our ancestors were much stronger than we are. We are weak. And people take medications that suppress their immune system. There are additives in the foods that suppress immune function that actually give you cancer, like in processed meats. The nitrates and nitrites that are in there actually cause cancer and suppress immune function. People lack vitamin D. They lack sunlight. They lack physical exercise. They lack stamina. All of these factors combine to create a vulnerability and really inevitability of an outbreak of a pandemic. It may not be Ebola. It may be something else, but it is coming. Even top health officials around the world have admitted that we are now in the, quote, post-antibiotics era, that the age of antibiotics is over. This is from top scientists at the World Health Organization and even the CDC. They know that now you can die from a superbug infection in a hospital. MRSA, for example, and there are many others. C. diff, for example, a bacterial strain, is killing a lot of patients in hospitals right now. And modern medicine has no answer to it. They have no antibiotics that work to kill these pathogens. And they have no drugs in the pipeline of research because they just can't make much money selling antibiotics. The drug companies realize that if they want to make money, they have to create drugs that they can convince people to need every day. See, antibiotics, you only need them when you have an infection, so it's just not that profitable, and the drug companies are far more interested in making money than saving lives. So they came up with drugs to convince you need them every day, antidepressants, anti-inflammatory drugs, blood pressure medications. They can convince you that you have ADHD and you need this psychiatric drug every day for the rest of your life. That's where the money is found in medicine, not in saving lives by developing new frontline antibiotics. So we are now in the age of what's called the post-antibiotic era, meaning that you can now go to the hospital, even without Ebola, you can go to the hospital, you can have a scratch on your skin, and at the hospital, you can be infected by your doctor, and you can die from that because they have nothing to offer you, absolutely nothing. Now, sure, you could probably treat yourself with something like a combination of garlic or colloidal silver even, or some antibacterial herbs. There are many, many out there. There are probably some combinations of natural remedies that could save your life, but the hospital won't recommend them. The doctor doesn't know about them. The drug companies obviously don't know about them. The CDC won't talk about that. The FDA tries to suppress the information. The mainstream media refuses to recommend anything other than a vaccine or a drug, so you're never going to hear about it unless you educate yourself through alternative sources like this. That's why websites like this are so important. And if they try to shut this website down, well, we'll post it somewhere else because the public needs to have access to this information. So share this, spread the word about biodefense.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope that you found this information valuable and supportive, and you understand the intention of where it's coming from, which is to save lives, to reduce human suffering, to help people survive what is inevitably coming, whether it's Ebola or something else. We are vulnerable right now as a human civilization. So thanks for listening. My name is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. I'm the editor of naturalnews.com.